Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. My name's Danny Ralph. I'm the Director of Research here at the Business School, and I'm also the Acting Director of the Centre for Risk Studies. You'll notice up there I've got Welcome to Judge, 20 years old, and then a little bit more substantial, Welcome to Cambridge, 800 years old. And if I can make just one quick remark about Cambridge before I get onto the light and frothy stuff, I'll give you some tourist information about Cambridge. The one point of substance is that Cambridge University is really a university that sits on top of or beside 30-some colleges. And those 30-some colleges are not just student accommodation. They actually admit the undergraduates. They define the undergraduate population. And if you go inside a college, they're very much like small universities. And the point really is that the colleges make this place a very good place to do integrated work. And so that will kind of come up later. Got the box, let's see if it works. Great, okay, so this is the kind of thing you like to show to people to impress them, all right? Isaac Newton, Darwin, Origin of the Species, 150th year of publication this year, or anniversary publication. Discovery of the electron, the jet engine, Keynesian economics, several kinds of philosophy, the structure of DNA, and again, for those of you who haven't been to Cambridge before, pay a visit to the Eagle Pub, which is about 10 minutes up the road. And the Eagle is where, apparently on a Saturday afternoon, Crick and Watson went and had a few beers and announced the fact that they thought they knew what the structure of DNA was. So it's worth drinking the beer there, just for that reason. More Nobel Prizes than you can poke a stick at. And the last one mentioned here, oops, I need the pointer. The last one mentioned in chemistry in 2009, I should be a little bit more scrupulous than maybe I am. The chemist in question is actually employed by the Medical Research Council, so it's not a Cambridge University organ, but it's in Cambridge, and he's a fellow of Trinity College. And perhaps I could just use that as a way to say it's the Cambridge phenomenon around, you know, that with Cambridge University provides the focus. I'll mention Stephen Hawking, who's so famous that he's even appeared in The Simpsons, which is a mark of esteem, of course. Some things that maybe aren't so obvious. So, Declaration of Independence in the USA, three signatories from Cambridge, founder of Harvard University, and most importantly, the founder of Monty Python, or one of them, for those of you who like British comedy. Prince Charles of the Big Ears, the rules of football or soccer, depending on which side of the Atlantic you come from, the chimes of Big Ben. So, lots of interesting things here. I'm sorry?
The times of Big Ben were calculated by George Airy, the mathematician.
Okay, well that's...
There are all many mathematicians you mentioned.
So you see, it's not just about people who do things for fun. This was a very serious academic enterprise, apparently. Well, thank you for that. This timeline isn't so edifying. I think what I really wanted to say with this timeline, where does the business school come from? The business school really comes from the Department of Engineering. And when it was formed in 1990, it was really formed from Division E, which is Manufacturing and Management. Now, Division E has now morphed into something called the Institute for Manufacturing. So the business school in itself grew out of, industrial engineering and technology, and it still sits in the School of Technology. This, we're being top three in the UK. Okay, we're pleased with that, but frankly, we should be trying to change that UK to world, if we're serious. How does the business school work? The business school really works by integrating with Cambridge University. So, okay, here's the mission statement, motherhood and apple pie, but the heart of Cambridge, what it's really trying to say, and again, this comes back to the way the whole university works, and it comes back to the role of the colleges. The whole university works by not having any executive power to tell any academic what to do. So this is a blessing and a curse. It's the curse of chaos and disorganization, and it's the blessing of creativity and serendipity. So it took a little bit of time for us to really articulate this, but the point is that unlike Harvard Business School or Stanford or some other places, there's so much value to be gained from the academics in the rest of the university. So when we study technology and science, or the development of technology and science, or we study innovation, there's so much wealth going on here that one of our roles is simply to bring that out, if you like, of the university to the rest of the world. And vice versa, one of our roles is to understand what corporations and firms think and to bring that into the university and to connect with some of the great people who are here outside the business school. And I've just mentioned a few things there. All right, I've given you the introduction to the university and to the business school. And now I'd like to say just a little bit about the Center for Risk Studies. The Center for Risk Studies is one of the business school's newest initiatives. Recent economic and societal events highlight need for academic study of risk. Well, that would have been true even without recent events, but I guess it's been highlighted by recent events. We have a number of research programs. They include things like environment and climate risk, financial and economic risk, catastrophes, both man-made and natural, and development of policy and development of tools for decision analysis. And if you like, wrapped around that, there's also a program that really studies what you could call the philosophy of risk. What are the things that we know how to estimate well in terms of risk, and what are the things that we don't? To acknowledge the limits of our models, if you like. Now, if you look around in the bios in this document, you'll see that we have a lot of representation from across the university. And I've just mentioned that some of the departments that are represented in today's meeting. This is actually only from our speaker list. Now, what have I left out here? I've left out the stats lab, I've left out geography, Scott Polar, and so on and so forth. I think engineering is represented in signal processing. So once again, what's happening, what I'm trying to say is that the Center for Risk Studies couldn't be effective without engaging the entire university. And even then, risk is such a big issue that we have to be somewhat focused in our research programs. Finally, to the meeting itself. So thank you all for coming. We have people here from across the world. I think a couple from California, DC, who knows where else in the United States. I think the furthest flung reaches of the world represented here is in Ghana. So thank you very much for making the effort to come. We do appreciate it. We have various people to thank. We have a couple of prominent industrial sponsors, both Lockheed Martin and Risk Management Solutions. We have additional help from within the university, from the Center for Science and Policy, as represented by David Cleveley, who will speak in a moment. Michelle Tuveson will speak in a moment on behalf of Lockheed, and Andrew Coben will speak on behalf of Risk Management Solutions. Now, I think I've finished perhaps the things I was required to say, if you don't mind me checking. So I think at this point it's time to hand over to the next of our three speakers, which is Michelle Tuveson from Lockheed Martin. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Danny, for your introduction. Doesn't seem to be working here.
You hang on to that.
Okay. I don't think this... Okay, it is working. Great. Thank you, Danny, and thank you for providing such an inspiring overview to today's meeting. Since 2008, I've been Lockheed Martin's liaison for Cambridge-based initiatives and based here, and it's really truly been an honor to work with the Risk Study Center, along with its team of very dynamic academics and industry advisors. It's also rewarding to see so many here as the complexity and the risk communities interact to really investigate the phenomena around complexity and catastrophic events and tail events, as we refer to. And believe it or not, it may seem like a very foreboding title for the meeting, but we're actually quite a positive group here. Complexity studies was an area of mutual interest for Lockheed Martin and Professor Eckhart Salier, the former head of Earth Sciences Department and president of Clare Hall. We are both very keen on exploring the discipline within the Cambridge community. Thus, today's meeting is a continuation of the activities by the Complexity Consortium over the last 2 years, and the culmination of engagements to bring the interests of the Risk Center affiliates along with the Complexity Group to start addressing the real needs of both of the communities and addressing some of the really hard, big problems that we face today. We believe that complexity sciences can form some of the underlying mathematical and scientific basis for studying the phenomena associated with today's tail events and catastrophic failures. So as processes in complex systems are often nonlinear, and multiple interacting nonlinear systems have the ability to produce truly catastrophic failures in unpredictable ways. There is an abstract provided by the Complexity Consortium in the meeting brochure, if you'd like to read further. In terms of future activities, the consortium will help organize a meeting next year, specifically addressing the subjects associated with complexity. We've also set up complexity studentships based at Clare Hall, and I'm pleased to see many of our studentship recipients here today, as well as other Clare Hall students. Lastly, I'd like to bring up a few points to consider as we listen to the great talks. Since frameworks are such an important component for systems approaches, and the powerful systems engineering frameworks include a very essential element, and that is the ROM board. And I see a lot of my colleagues from Lockheed nodding their heads because they're all too familiar with being on ROM boards. But what ROM stands for, ROM is an acronym for Risk and Opportunity Management. And it's based on the predication that where there are risks, there are opportunities. Opportunities for technology innovation and insertion, economic progress, societal betterment, just to name a few. So I believe some of the underlying questions to consider throughout the day is, can we improve our frameworks to minimize the effects of tail events and maximize the opportunities associated with risk? And if so, do we have enough science behind that, or do we need to develop the science so that it challenges our current approaches for modeling? So thank you very much, and I look forward to meeting you today.
Thanks, Michelle. As always, extremely erudite and succinct, putting all of the main framework together. Oh, thank you. So I'm Andrew Coburn from Risk Management Solutions, and I'm from the catastrophe risk modeling and risk management industry. And when I first attended some of the meetings on complexity hosted by Michelle, I was struck by some of the similarities in the problems that they were tackling. And we felt that it might be that this kind of meeting would be a good opportunity to compare notes between different industries, different academic departments, and different approaches to understanding this whole issue of complexity and how failures occur in what are rapidly complex systems. And we believe that that's a paradigm that operates both in the kind of natural catastrophe world, where I do a lot of modeling, and in society as a whole, and economics, and various other areas where we see non-linear responses that cause ultimately breakdowns of the system through lots of complex interactions. So we felt that today would be an opportunity to bring those two particular areas together and a number of other disciplines together. So what we've done is we've structured a kind of a framework for the day where we've got a whole series of people from different industries going to be talking relatively short and succinct issues of presentation to try and throw up similarities and cross-fertilize from different disciplines. So I'm not going to take up very much more of the day because I'm hoping we can get into some deep and interesting stuff. So thank you all very much for attending. We're looking forward to an excellent day. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Well, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to get too much in the way. I hope. David Cleveley. I'm the founding director of the Centre for Science and Policy. Now, the Centre for Science and Policy started life as the Cambridge University Government Policy Programme, which managed to get cohorts of permanent secretaries and undersecretaries up to Cambridge for over a period of about 10 years to go through some basic science. And the function of that group was really to awaken the top levels of the civil service to some of the major issues that were going to confront them, perhaps not in the next 6 months or the next 5 years, but at some point, and that they perhaps ought to be aware of some of the science that underpinned some of the policies that were going to have to be developed. About a year ago, I was asked to start a Centre for Science and Policy, CogPop having run its course. And what we're trying to do is build a network of people who are interested in talking about the science and engineering, mathematics, philosophy, economics, law, and medical sciences that underpin some of the decisions that policymakers may have to take in the future. Of course, it doesn't need me to remind you about recent controversies over the use of drugs to point out that some of this is fairly topical, but the issue that we're trying to address here is what is it that we've got in the way that Danny described as being multidisciplinary, particularly here in Cambridge, but in other institutions through the world, where we could highlight things that are not necessarily known to policymakers, and that by having a discussion, a constructive discussion, we can actually engage with them and not change their minds, but enlighten them a little bit and get them to think about the importance of science and engineering and about the importance of some of these things and of the major issues that may well confront them at some point in the future. Now, to do that, we're building a network, as I said when I started. We're building a network which is based around centre interest groups. Those centre interest groups that you can read some of this in the leaflet that's in your pack. The centre interest groups that are gathered around particular topics, whether it be security and risk, or whether it, for example, we want to look at networks, whether it be ecosystem services valuation, or the $100 genome that we're kicking off, or various other topics of which you can see more. We want to build a strong associates network to contribute to that. We want to have visiting fellows who are interested in coming and working with the centre interest groups on particular topics to draw in people from way outside Cambridge, whether they be in industry, in government, or in other academic institutions. And we're also looking for centre fellows who we can help build networks, those people who are readers or perhaps junior professors here in Cambridge, who we can just help build their careers. Because fundamentally, when it comes down to it, much of policy that relies on science and engineering is done not necessarily through the major reports, it's done through the smaller networks. For example, the Foundation of Sciences for Science and Technology, represented by Dougal here, is a very good example of how actually that discussion gets done in rather larger groups and very effectively. Our role in all of this is to do this in rather smaller groups and to have turned over the ground a little bit with our centre interest groups first. We're supporting this particular workshop not just because we're good neighbours. We actually happen to inhabit the same palatial premises in Trumpington Street, and we're separated by one door and a desk, I think. But we're also because, going back to what Danny said, genuinely multidisciplinary stuff is where you get the fresh ideas and where you get the fresh thinking, and that's what I'm very much looking forward to in this conference. Thanks very much.